I'm excited to continue our series today. We've called Accelerate. The idea is that we're going to share with you over a 5-week period, we're going to share with you 5 habits that you can use to accelerate your spiritual growth. And to kind of get the set the stage for that and help us understand what that's all about, I want to show you a picture. This is my daughter Ashley. The reason we're knelt down, we had just planted some flowers there at Aderhold Funeral Home. It's a special event for children that we do in the spring, and we had just planted some flowers. But I like this picture. I wanted to show it to you because this is a picture when Ashley was quite a bit younger. She was little. We were blessed. Ashley has always been a great kid. We've never had real disobedience, major disrespect problems, anything like that. And she, for the most part, was always very obedient. But there was one area where she disobeyed me most of her childhood, and it was frustrating for me. When I see this picture, it reminds me that a few years before this, when she was even younger than that, I told her to stop growing. I told her, I want you to always be daddy's little girl. And so stop growing. And she was disobedient. She just continued to grow. And she grew to this age. And she grew on, moved out of the house. And we miss having her around. She was disobedient. Now, you can't help but grow when you're a kid. It just happens, right? You can't stop it because you didn't start it. It just happens. That is true of our physical growth. Friends, it is not true of our spiritual growth. Spiritual growth does not just happen. We didn't plan on growing up. We didn't intentionally say, okay, over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to grow an inch. We didn't plan on it. It just happened. Unfortunately, I think that we think spiritual growth should happen the same way. If I just kind of hang in there and keep doing the right thing, then it should happen. In fact, spiritual growth does not happen naturally or easily. Spiritual growth only happens intentionally. We only grow spiritually when we decide to do so and when we are willing to be the disciple that we need to be in order to experience that growth. Have you ever noticed that the word disciple and the word discipline are the same word? A disciple practices the disciplines of the spiritual life that allow him or her to grow spiritually. And so our goal over these 5 weeks is to share with you some of the habits that will allow you to intentionally accelerate your spiritual growth. Last week, we talked about the first habit, which was personal Bible study. This week, I want us to look at the second habit, which is prayer. If you have your Bible with you, look with me over in the New Testament and find the little book of Colossians. It is kind of small, so it may be a little bit tough to find. First and Second Thessalonians are a little bit bigger, so you may find them first. If you find 1 and 2 Thessalonians, just turn to the left a couple of pages and you'll be at Colossians. Look with me in Colossians chapter 4 at verse 2. We're in Colossians chapter 4 at verse 2. And Paul encourages us and he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. He says, devote yourself to prayer. You remember when we used to call that time that we would spend, we used to call it a quiet time, that time that we'd spend with God that would just be us and Him, and we'd read and we'd pray. We call it a quiet time. Other times we call it morning devotions or a devotional time. You ever wonder why we call it devotions? Because we are instructed to be devoted to prayer. The word devoted simply means that we are we're connected, we're engaged, we're on purpose about something. Devotion is love and loyalty or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause, according to the dictionary. It is love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. And so Paul says to love and be loyal to and enthusiastic about prayer. Be devoted, he says, to prayer. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And so he talks to us about not only our commitment, which is to be devoted to it, but he also talks to us about where our state of mind and our state of heart. He says, in the state of mind, he says to stay alert in it. Pay attention to what you're doing. Be alert when you pray. Think about it. And then he talks about the state of the heart. And he says, do it with an attitude of thankfulness. We pray when we are devoted to it, when our mind is right and we're focused on it, and when our heart is right and we're thankful, we can go and we can begin to pray earnestly. In order to make prayer a habit, it involves your clock, your head, and your heart. Why do I say it involves your clock? You remember last week, I told you that whenever you start a new habit, you have to do two things. You have to block off time for it because it's not in your current schedule, or you wouldn't need to start the habit. It would already be a habit if it was in your time schedule now. All right? Since it's a new habit, you have to intentionally block off time for it. Then not only do you block off time for it, but then you do the work that is involved in making it happen. So I think of it in terms of time and trouble. All right? It takes time, and you have to go to the trouble to make it happen. If you'll do those two things, you can develop a habit. Block off time and go to the trouble to make it happen. That's what it means to be devoted, he says, to prayer. Because I'm devoted to prayer, I'm going to make time for it. It's going to become a priority for me. And not only am I going to make time for it, but I'm going to go to the trouble to make it happen. I'm going to decide that I'm going to go into this alert and thankful. And Jeremy gave us the outline of prayer this morning. You say, I don't know how to pray. All you got to do is remember Acts. You sit down and you say, Dear God, and then you start thinking. A, adoration. Talk to Him about how great He is. C, confession. Talk to Him about how great you're not. T, thanksgiving. Thank Him for all the blessings that He's brought your way. S is supplication. That's where you're asking for stuff. Notice that's the last thing, not the first. You're going to get the relationship right first. You're going to position yourself in front of God correctly first. And then you're ready for the supplication, for the asking for things. To be devoted to prayer and to be alert in it and to have the heart of thanksgiving. That's how you develop the habit. So when you develop this habit of prayer, when prayer actually becomes a habit, so many of us use prayer kind of haphazardly. You know, we'll pray when we think about it. We'll pray when we need something. And all of that's good. Don't stop that. That's good. But for how many of us is prayer really a way of life? Is it really a habit? When prayer becomes a habit, a way of life, let me show you what it's going to look like. First, it's going to be personal. When my prayer is kind of haphazard, then it's kind of, Dear God, I know you're there, and thank you, and help me, and and it's kind of a stained glass language kind of thing. I think I have to talk in church words. But when it becomes a habit, it's personal. Because I know when it's a part of my life, I know that I'm just communicating with my Father who loves me more than anyone ever loved anyone. I know I'm communicating with someone who wants to listen. I'm communicating with someone who has it within his power to act on what we talk about. And so when that prayer becomes a habit, it becomes not a religious activity, but it becomes very personal. I can talk with him, and I know that he's there and that he cares. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything. You see, when my prayer becomes a habit, when prayer becomes a part of my life, my anxiety level decreases dramatically. Did you hear that? Because we got a lot of worryholics. When prayer really becomes a part of my life, when prayer is a habit, my anxiety decreases dramatically because I learn to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. In other words, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Did you see that word in Philippians 4, 6? Do not be anxious for anything, but in what? Say that for me so I can actually hear you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in
everything.
But really, really he just means the important stuff, right? I mean, really, he's just talking. We just pray about money and job and family and people who are sick. I think he means everything because prayer is not a religious activity. It is a personal experience. He means everything. Whatever you would talk to your best friend about, talk to God. Whatever you talk to your spouse about, you can talk to God. See, prayer is just communicating with him. It's just sitting down and having a personal conversation. So when prayer becomes a habit and a part of my life, it's going to be personal. Not only is it going to be personal, but it's also going to be persistent. What would happen if you told your friends that you were really just too busy to talk to them? You probably wouldn't have friends for very long. You make time to talk to the people you care about. Hear that? That's true, isn't it? You make time to talk to people you care about. So when prayer becomes a habit, a part of my life, because I care about God and He cares about me, I'm going to make time. I'm going to persist in it. It's going to be a regular experience for me. If we aren't careful, we let our busy schedules interfere with our time with God. And that's just a part of living in the busy world in which we live. But if it's a habit, if it's a part of my life, then I make time because it's that important. Romans 12 and 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I love that last phrase. We're willing to be faithful in our faith. You know, we're willing to stick by our beliefs. We're even willing to be faithful in our attendance. But the one he chose, be faithful in prayer. That ought to be a regular activity, a personal experience on a regular basis. Lisa and I have been married over 29 years. We dated 3 years before that. And I sat down, I really gave this some thought. I do not remember one day in over 30 years that I have not talked to her. If I ever go through one day without talking to Lisa, that day will seem incomplete. Something will be missing if I don't talk to her every day. When we make prayer a habit and we understand it's a personal experience with an Almighty God who really loves us, then a day without talking to Him would be a day that felt incomplete. Something was missing. I left out a major relationship in my life. When prayer becomes a real habit and it becomes a part of who I am, it will be personal, it will be persistent, and it will be passionate. My prayers will become a passionate experience, a personal experience that has meaning, and there's some feeling there, and there's some power involved in it. As we talk about making prayer a habit, there is a risk of letting it become routine. So let's pause for a second and talk about the difference. As we talk about making prayer a habit, we're not talking about letting prayer become routine. You know the routine. That's where we kind of learn a set of words and we say the same words each time. And then we call it prayer. Well, we haven't really interacted with God as much as we have recited a series of words. Instead, when prayer really becomes a habit, it becomes a part of who I am, there is passion in that experience. There's feeling, there's a sense of connection with God, and I want to talk to Him because I know He's listening. Psalm 116, I love the Lord. For He heard my voice, He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. Because I know He listens, I'm going to pray with Him the rest of my life. Prayer that has become a habit is passionate. While we're talking about prayer, it occurs to me that probably the main reason we don't spend more time in prayer is because it's hard to find time to make it happen. So here's what I'm going to do for you. Since it is hard to find time to make prayer a priority, I'm going to give you some of my time. Let's stop right now. Just be quiet and pray. Here's your time. Take time and pray and spend time with the Lord. Just you and Him right where you are, quietly, privately, passionately. Talk to the Father who loves you. prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's not just religious activity. It's not just proving that we're good people. Something happens when prayer becomes a habit and a part of our lives. That's what Jesus wanted us to experience, I think, when he taught about prayer. I want to use our last few moments together and show you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, Jesus taught us about prayer. And he said, when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. They wanted attention. So they got attention. They got their reward in full. That's all they get. Instead, you, he says, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. In those words, we're reminded that prayer connects me to God. He said, if you just want to pray to be religious, then as soon as you're done, you got to be religious. You got what you wanted. That's over. Instead, you make prayer more meaningful. You make it a powerful experience. You go and spend time with God. Prayer connects me with God. And then look what else he said as we continue. He said then in the next two verses, 7 and 8, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Not only does prayer connect me to God, but prayer expresses my dependence on God. He says, don't feel like you have to just say a whole bunch of words that sound religious. That's not what prayer is. That's a mistake that others make, but you don't make that. Instead, you connect with God and you talk to Him and ask Him the things you need. But the last part of verse 8 said, He already knows what I need. If He already knows it, why do I have to ask for it? Because it proves that I know that I need Him. Yeah, He knows what I need. But prayer says, I recognize that you're the one who can provide it. Prayer puts me in a position of submission in which I can receive what I need from Him. Prayer expresses my dependence on God. And then the other thing that Jesus taught us is that prayer yields my will to God's will. Understand, when we pray, you are not convincing God to do what you want. In real prayer, when real becomes a habitual part of your life, it's not that you're convincing God to do what you want. It is instead that you're allowing God to communicate with you on such a deep level that your want to changes into His want to. Jesus, just before He died on the cross, goes into the garden alone. And there in the garden, He cries out to the Father. And He says to Him, My Father, if it's possible, make this cup be taken from Me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. And that is the heart of real prayer, where we begin to say to Him, I want what You want. Prayer is personal, persistent, and passionate when it becomes a part of our lives. And when that happens, we begin to see prayer as Jesus did, that it connects us to God, it expresses our dependence on Him, and it yields our will into His. Billy Graham once noted that prayer is not about using God. It is more about getting us in a position where God can use us. Billy Graham said one time that I watched the deckhands on this great ocean liner as they docked the ship in New York Harbor. First, they threw out a rope to the men on the dock. Then, inside the boat, the great motors went to work and pulled on that great cable. But oddly enough, the pier wasn't pulled out to the ship. The ship was pulled snugly up to the pier. Prayer is the rope that pulls God and us together, but it doesn't pull God down to us. It pulls us to God. Billy Graham said we must learn to say with Christ, the master of the art of praying, "Not my will, but thine be done." Father, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for allowing us into your presence. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to speak to you, to know you personally. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to develop within our lives the habit of prayer, that it would become a part of who we are. Toward that end, Father, we realize that it is useless unless we have a personal relationship with you. Talking to someone we don't know doesn't help much. So, Father, help each of us today at this moment. Help each of us make sure that we really are indeed related to you. Help us to trust in you, to give our lives to you, to follow you, to be your disciples. And if one of us needs to take some action today or to make some commitment today in order to make that commitment to you public, help us to know what we should do. We pray in Jesus' name.